This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. After more than 7 months, the case of lawyer Lynn Stewart has gone to jury. Stewart is accused of aiding terrorism by helping her client, the imprisoned blind sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, communicate with his followers. The federal courtroom in Manhattan has been filled with Stewart supporters, as well as many lawyers who worry about this trial and if it could have a chilling effect on their profession. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
In part, this is a trial about how far a lawyer can go in defending her client and whether the rules have shifted in an age of terrorism. The prosecution based its case on 85,000 phone calls taped by the government. These calls were made by Ahmed Abdel Sattar, a former paralegal for Sheikh Rahman. Sattar, who is facing the most serious charges, is heard talking with various members of the Islamic group, which the U.S. lists as a terrorist organization. Prosecutors say Sattar helped one militant write a fatwa calling for the killing of Jews everywhere. Now, these phone calls were in Arabic, a language attorney Lynn Stewart does not speak or understand, and she says she had no idea that Sattar, the paralegal,
was talking to people in Afghanistan and Iran and all sorts of members of the IG scattered far and wide. I thought his contacts were limited to Egypt, to the lawyers.
But prosecutors argue that Lynn Stewart passed Sattar's messages from various terrorists to the sheikh, and that she also gave a statement to a reporter from Reuters saying the sheikh no longer supported a ceasefire between the Islamic group and the Egyptian government. Prosecutors argue that this was a call to resume violence and violated special administrative measures Stewart had signed that prohibited the sheikh from communicating with the outside world. Sheikh Rahman is serving a life sentence for a conspiracy to attack New York landmarks. Dan Richmond is a professor at Fordham Law School and a former U.S. attorney.
Lynn Stewart made certain pledges when she signed these agreements, and not just technically violated them, but flagrantly violated them.
Besides defrauding the government by violating the special administrative rules, Stewart is accused of providing material support to Islamic terrorists by providing the words of the sheikh himself to his followers and to the press. Stewart argues she was doing what any lawyer would do, advocating for a client in solitary confinement by keeping knowledge about his case and his condition in the public eye.
It was really my belief that his voice had a right to be heard. It was not a call to arms, as the government would like to characterize it. It was basically calling for, let's talk this over. We need a reconsideration. Our line may be wrong here.
Gerald Lefcourt, a New York attorney who has represented many political defendants, says Lynn Stewart did nothing different than other lawyers who defended the sheikh, signed administrative rules and talked to the press, but the prosecution argues that the measures Lynn Stewart signed were more restrictive. Lefcourt says the whole case would never have happened if not for 9/11. He argues the government's purpose is to warn lawyers not to defend terrorists and other unpopular clients.
That you don't fight cases like that. That you stay away, that some people aren't entitled to lawyers, and that if you're smart, you'll keep your distance, take comfortable, prudent cases, and don't do anything out of the ordinary.
I really do catch myself when I read frequently that this case is the beginning of a war on lawyers.
Former U.S. Attorney Dan Richmond says prosecutors are in fact part of the same legal culture as defense lawyers, and as to the charge that radical lawyers like Lynn Stewart are excluded from that legal culture and victimized, Richmond says there are many radical or quasi-radical lawyers who don't go over the line.
And when they do come close to the line, I think they're generally given the benefit of the doubt. And when they go over the line, I think generally they go unprosecuted.
If convicted on all charges, Sattar could get life in prison. Lynn Stewart could get up to 20 years. Defense lawyers say they hope jurors will not give in to their fear of terrorism. Prosecutors argue that terrorism has changed the world and the rules. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.